Hi, Chris Valentin here. Welcome to my podcast, where I hope to inspire you to transform the world within you and transform the world around you. I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Did you know that only 31% of kids in America believe in God? A concerning statistic that correlates with other trends like increased anxiety, depression, and suicide rates in our youth. Is it possible that the content that our kids are exposed to in this digital age is playing a role here? On average, kids spend over 7 hours a day in front of a screen, and screens aren't going away. What options do we have as parents and grandparents to protect our children and help them grow in faith? If you're as concerned as I am, and you also believe in the value of raising our children on solid faith foundations and positive Christian values like I do, then I'm excited to tell you about a company that's fighting back by meeting kids right where they are. True Play Games is a mobile app that offers high-quality faith-building alternatives to toxic content that is pervasive today. It's one app with dozens of entertaining games, comics, and animated shorts, and every piece of content in the True Play app is designed with care to be engaging, entertaining, and most importantly, true to the Word of God. True Play effectively turns game time into God time, delivering peace of mind in these turbulent times. You can learn more and try it out for free at trueplay.com. That's T-R-U-P-L-A-Y games.com.
Well, welcome to Cultural Catalyst, where we help you to learn how to live fully live, co-labor with God, and change the world. And I'm your host, Chris Valentin. And I have Lana. And Lana, would you share your last name, please, so I don't hack it?
Yes, it's Voser.
Voser. Yes, spelled V-A-W-S-E-R. Yes. And she is That's right. Sydney, Australia. And evidently, she was at Bethel for 6 months, many years ago. She's a renowned voice, a prophet, a global prophet, actually. She's traveled all over the world in prophetic ministry. And she has a real heart to encourage believers. She has her own ministry in which her husband actually works in her ministry with her, which is pretty cool. You have four kids now. You just have a one-year-old and you have a 19-year-old or what?
I know.
16-year-old?
What? Yes. Yeah. My oldest is 14. I can't believe it.
14.
Yeah. So I've got three boys. Yeah. Three boys and one girl.
Your youngest child's a girl, right?
Yes.
That's just amazing.
And she's one. Yeah.
And the Lord told you were going to have another baby, and you ended up with a one-year-old, just had that child a year ago. That's exciting.
I know. Yeah, it was incredible. It was one of those moments where the Lord surprises you. He spoke to me in a dream. And then 3 years later, she turned up, and she's just the most beautiful gift. I just can't believe she's one.
That's amazing. Beautiful. A beautiful story. So, hey, I want to get you introduced to my audience, because a lot of my audience, because you're in Australia and that area, may not know who you are. And so a little of your background, I know you're a prophet, and we met in YWAM. You were just telling me the story offline. Share that story.
Yeah, this was amazing. So for quite a number of years, I was having all of these visions and dreams, and the Lord was saying to me, I've called you as a prophet to the nations, and just terrified me. And then the Lord says to me a few years later, I want you to go to YWAM, Youth with a Mission. So I'm Googling, and here we go. Chico, California is highlighted to me. So the Lord says, go there. And we did our outreach in Fiji, and I am sitting in a very hot classroom when you and Kathy walked in, and you were the one that prophesied over me not only so many of the encounters that the Lord had spoken to me about being a prophet to the nations, but you looked into my future and spoke so many things that the Lord had highlighted to me. And so in that season, you were really the one that just confirmed so much to me and catapulted me into an interesting training season of with the Lord. So, yeah, that was quite a number of years ago now.
It's interesting because I will never forget that trip, because YWAM, you know, we call it Youth Without Money. YWAM put me up, put Kathy and I up in a really nice hotel, like, I don't know, like a 5-star hotel. It had air conditioning. It was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. But they did not teach on that in that hotel. They taught down the street, which was a building. It might have had windows, but I don't remember it having windows. And it was so hot. And I taught like 5 hours or 6 hours a day for 5 days. And every break of session, I would run across the street to my hotel, take a shower, change my clothes, and then run back there because it was so humid. I thought I was going to die in there.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. And you were in your 20s. And that, man, that's just, gosh, you meet so many people. So crazy. Interesting. It wouldn't have been in your YWAM, but a year later, I was in Hawaii, and I prophesied over this young lady. They had lost their only child. She was like 5 or 6 years old, and they had lost her to some rare disease. And they came to YWAM, and they were just completely depressed. And the Lord, so and I knew what had happened because they, you know, the ETS leader had told me. I said, man, they always look depressed. And they're like, yeah, they lost a child just 3 months ago before they came here. So the Lord gave me this word for them at the last day that I was there, that that God was going to give them back double. He was going to give them twins. And I completely forgot about it. And the reason I bring it up is because I was in another place just about 4 or 5 months ago. Oh, I was in Alaska 5 months ago. And this lady comes up. She said, do you remember me? I said, no, I don't. She said, I was in YWAM, Hawaii. And I said, oh, I used to teach there a lot. She said, we just lost a child, 4 or 5 years old, and you told me that I was going to have twins. And she said, I got pregnant that week. And she brought up two girls, and they were 17. So it was 17 years ago. And she said, these are the two twins I had when you prophesied over me. And I was like, it's, you know, you just never know, like, right? This is the beautiful, beautiful thing about the prophetic ministry is there's fruit that you don't see till many years later. It's just beautiful seeing you.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. We're going to talk about prophetic ministry. Tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a prophet, or, you know, you're being acknowledged as a prophet, and how did you, you know, kind of break into the public platform of that?
Yeah. So when I was first, when I first came to the Lord, I was 16, and immediately I had this supernatural hunger to hear from God. I would read the Word, and if it said I could have it, then I wanted it, and I would sit and dream about the Lord speaking to me, like off the mountain, like the Charlton Heston booming voice of God, and I would just position myself every day on my bedroom floor and say, God, I need to hear your voice. And I would be in the Word. And it was just such a passion of mine to linger in his presence. And all I wanted was his heart and his voice. And so for many years, the Holy Spirit really trained me. When I first got saved, I was saved in a Baptist church, a beautiful Baptist church that taught me the solid foundational Word of the Lord. And that season for me, I was in this Baptist church, yet having prophetic encounters and not understanding what was happening. And in that season, the Lord was the one that really taught me a lot about hearing his voice through the Word. And as I journeyed for quite a number of years in that space with the Lord, I started to have these moments, which I now understand was the Spirit of God coming upon me to prophesy. But I would be sitting, reading the Word, and all of a sudden I'd have this overwhelming feeling I need to write. And I would sit at my computer and I would start to write these words that were like letters of love from the heart of the Father to the church. And as a young believer, I'm in a Baptist church. I have no idea what to do with these things. And I hear this voice one day so strongly, like it wasn't audible, but the thought was so loud. And I heard the Lord say, start a blog. So I'm, you know, here I am in Sydney as a young believer, and I just start writing on a blog for these, releasing these words that the Lord had given me for the church. And quite a number of years later, it was Steve Schultz from the Elijah List actually that reached out to me and said, I recognize there's a gifting on you. Can I share these words that you're releasing? And from that point, it was like the Lord just opened up this public space to me that I never expected. Wow. But it was definitely this season where the Lord had prepared me for such a time.
What's the obstacles that you faced? Like, you came out of a Baptist church, so, you know, I mean, at least American Baptist churches don't, most of them don't really embrace, you know, especially prophets. Maybe they do prophetic ministry, but have you faced a lot of obstacles in your journey?
I have, yeah. So the Baptist church that I was in, they weren't moving in the prophetic. And so the first kind of obstacle that I found was, oh my gosh, like, I don't fit. How do I fit here? Mm-hmm. And I didn't really understand what a prophet even looked like. What does a prophet do? I'm having these dreams, God saying, get ready, you're going to be a prophet to the nations. And so identity was a big thing for me. So immediately what happened, because I felt so misunderstood, or I felt like I didn't fit, I then began to take my identity in the fact that I was called to be a prophet. And I have a very funny story, because a few years later, once the Lord had begun to open doors for me, I got an invitation to another nation and they asked me to come and minister. And I thought, Chris, I was going to be the next Joyce Meyer. I'm like, I'm going to be the Joyce Meyer of the prophetic movement. I had my little business cards printed up and I was ready to go. And I got on the plane and they had actually made these flyers that says Revival, welcoming Lana Vorza. So I had the big dreams, like, I am going to be like a big shot. And I get over there, and within 24 hours of being there, there were appointments I thought I had that just vanished. Some of them got cancelled, and I sat in a room in England, and I said to the Lord, like, who am I without these things? Like, who am I without ministry? Like, you've called me to be a prophet to the nations, and now you've cancelled all of my appointments. And for me, that was one of the biggest obstacles that I faced as a young believer, recognizing that, hang on, I'm a daughter. Like, that's who I am. Like, my identity is in the fact that I'm a daughter of the King. I am loved and I'm valued because I'm a daughter. I am His. He is my beloved. I am His. And that was a huge obstacle for me for many years. And it was in that place that the Lord began to strip a lot of things away and actually fortify my identity in Him. As a daughter, first and foremost. So I would say that was probably one of the biggest obstacles for me. And then as I grew in the prophetic gifting, in the prophetic office, I would say understanding that revelation that you receive is not automatically to be shared. Just because you hear something doesn't mean that you release it. And I would often get this urgency, like, God has spoken, release it. And the Lord would say to me, Lana, I gave that to you for you to pray. Don't rush releasing revelation. And so that was another kind of big lesson that I had to learn in the stewardship of revelation, that not everything needs to be shared immediately or even at all sometimes, but also it's not my job to interpret the prophetic word. That's on the Lord. So they're just a few things that I have.
That's really good.
Yeah, found as obstacles.
You're carrying a word for the season. I haven't heard that the prophetic word you're carrying, so I'd love to hear like how you got it and what you're feeling. And is it a global word or a word for Sydney or a word specifically for the church? Yeah. So who's it pointed at and what are you feeling?
Yeah. So my posture every day before the Lord, I have my coffee with Jesus and I ask Him every day, Lord, what's on your heart? And that's where I was in this moment last year. And the Lord said to me, He said, begin again. And I said, begin again. And immediately I was taken into this encounter and I saw Jesus and He was standing in the current season that we are in right now. And I knew that it represented the season that we are in for many as the body of Christ. But I also saw Jesus standing in our past seasons. So I could see Him in the center of seasons gone by. And he thundered these words again, begin again, like it was so loud in my spirit. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? And he said, I'm redeeming time. And as soon as he said those words, begin again, I saw this convergence of seeds and spoils of previous seasons all coming together right now in this year and in the next couple of years for the body of Christ. And it was a place of harvest. It was a place where so many have felt like there has been so much trial or opposition or weariness, or they're feeling like they've just been knocked around and there's been so much loss, that the Lord was speaking this redemption of time. It was a mighty recompense. It was a mighty restoration, and it was a full circle. And the Lord said to me that, Lana, in this mighty convergence of the seeds being sown in previous seasons and the spoils of war, as they collide right now, he said, I'm bringing a greater fruitfulness and a greater refreshment. And as I saw this kind of unfolding, I saw that the Lord said to me that many have dropped things. They've laid things down in the past year, couple of years, may even go back further than that, where they've been so discouraged, or there's been so much opposition that they've dropped things, whether it's assignment or passions of their heart, dreams that the Lord had given them. And he spoke those words again, begin again. It's time to pick those things up again. And in that place of, I guess, beginning again, there was an expansion that the Lord was bringing for not only restoration and recompense, but for a positioning to see a greater move of his spirit in those very areas. And as I continued kind of to sit with the Lord, I can't even count how many times I've had dreams or visions this year, leading into this year, around ascending and Psalm 24, the Lord calling us as his people to this place of deeper consecration, to this place of ascending the mountain of the Lord from that place of intimacy with clean hands and a pure heart to make room for the glory of the Lord. And I really feel like in this season that we're coming to a higher level of seeing from the perspective of God, that as we see from like how he sees, that he's releasing divine intel for intercession, for us to really engage with heaven in what he is declaring over our lives, over our cities, over our nations, to partner with him in that place of intercession, to make room for the King of Glory to come in. So that's kind of some of the things that I've just really been carrying in this season as the Lord calls us higher.
Do you think that there's any practical application that is, prophetically directed from those prophetic words? Like, is there yeah. you know how sometimes the Lord gives you things to do to see mm-hmm. the word, accomplished in our lives? Do you feel like there's any kind of activation that's necessary to receive the kind of begin again word?
I do, yeah. I actually, the Lord had me do it for my own personal life. He said to me, Lana, I want you to sit down and write down the areas where you see there has been loss. And I want to be very clear on this, like this wasn't a come and focus on the things that have been stolen or broken or discouragement. It was the Lord saying, just list them down. And I wrote them down and the Lord said to me, now go to the word and take the promise of the word that is the opposite to this. So let's say, for example, there is this place where you have experienced a broken heart. Well, then I would go and I'd grab a scripture about how the Lord binds up the brokenhearted. And there was a real invitation for the Lord, exchange the loss, like to hand over that loss, that discouragement, that pain, that trauma, and actually move into a place of expectant faith, like this place of, Lord, despite what I see, despite what I feel, I'm going to align myself with your word. What are you speaking? What have you promised me? And what's the rhema word that you have spoken over this situation? And the Lord was very clear in a strategy that he spoke to me. He said, Lana, it's important that my people rehearse the rhema. He said, you have to rehearse the rhema over and over again, because how many times, how easy is it to rehearse all the other stuff?
Totally.
And the losses and the pain. But I feel this invitation that in the begin again, that we would position ourselves and lift up our eyes and focus on things of above. That, yes, there's a very real place where there's emotional pain and trauma, and I'm not lessening that at all. But I feel like there's a posture the Lord is calling us to where he's saying, lift up your eyes and rehearse what I'm saying, meditate on what I'm saying, and be expectant for me to restore that which has been broken or stolen.
What's the most profound lesson that you've learned about the heart of God towards his people?
His heart, it's going to make me cry. Like, his heart for his people, so often we can walk through seasons and processes and we can see things in the natural, but be discouraged or overwhelmed. And I think what I've learned is that God's heart to develop his people to invite his people into this place of intimacy. Like, he is so committed to developing your relationship with him and for you to know him. Like, not just, someone told me about him, but to know him intimately, that he is the relentless pursuer. Like in the Song of Songs, even in the places where I hide, he comes closer. Like, there is this place where I have just been absolutely undone by the goodness of God, that nothing is wasted. There is, that things are redeemed and restored in him because he's so for us. And that place where he is just constantly calling us into this place of deeper intimacy, to truly know him. And he's so present with us in our process. He's not standing on the sidelines saying, Lana, I hope you can figure it out and get it right. That he's close, and he's so much so right that he sent his one and only son when there was nothing I could do to save myself. In the biggest mess ever, the Father sent his son. So that place of the heart of the Lord for his people, for you to flourish in your communion with him, and then from that place you go and partner with him in the earth, that's marked my life forever.
What's the state of the Australian church?
Right now, we are seeing some glorious moves of the Spirit right now in just reviving his people. One of my beautiful friends, Catherine Ronala, she runs Glory City in Brisbane. And oh, golly, the way I'm watching the Lord awaken his people and the miracles that are happening there in other places and other states, I'm watching the Lord restoring. I'm seeing the Lord reawaken his people to who he is and his goodness and refreshing. There's a lot of weary saints. Yeah. And I'm seeing the heart of the Father ministering to his people to revive them and to bring wholeness. There is such a move of the Spirit bringing deliverance and wholeness emotionally to people right now. So I'm seeing this especially right here in Australia. God is healing his people and refreshing us, and calling, gathering us to really stand and be that city on a hill in this nation.
It's so good. It feels like, we're emerging out of COVID, so still emerging, at least in America, we are, I think that we're slowly getting back to a new normal, as you just pointed out, a new beginning, a new normal. It doesn't feel like we're ever going to get back to the old normal. It feels like we're going to have a whole new normal, like the world has changed, right?
Yeah, I actually had a dream I think it was 2019, or maybe, no, actually it was 2017, and the Lord said to me that a new era was coming. And he said, when the new era comes, and I didn't even understand this, but now I'm like, oh, wow, Lord. One of the things he said to me was, Lana, there's a new normal coming. And he said to me, Lana, I'm going to raise up my people. There'll be a new wineskin and there'll be a new expression of my heart and all of these things. But he said, I'm going to raise my people up in the ferocious focus of faith. And I think that, you know, right now is something that is definitely resounding on the heart of the Lord, that, you know, we're in a completely new normal right now, and we're in a new era. But I feel that so strongly, that what is ahead that the Lord has planned is going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious.
When I sought the Lord in December for this year, 2024, and the Lord said, I'm not going to give you a word for the year. I'm like, what's the word for the year, you know? It's year of the cat? What is it the year of, you know? And the Lord said to me, I'm not going to give you a word for the year. I'm going to give you a word for the era, for an era. So I do feel like it is. It's the beginning. It's an opening of a new era. It's the womb of the dawn, right? It's the womb of the dawn.
Yeah.
And it's a rebirth of a new era. And it is, in some ways, getting back to the deeds we did at first, but then there's an opening of a new era that's, you know, a new song, Isaiah 42:9, a new thing. That's beautiful. Can you share the impactful prophetic encounter that you had that left you a lasting impression, and left a lasting impression on you?
Yeah. So a few years ago, I was in a very intense season of inner healing. I was going through just a really deep time where the Lord was pruning things and he was healing things in my heart. And I remember there was a lot of battle over my identity. So the enemy was just at me with, you know, you are this, you are that. Look at what you've done. Look at your past, all the things that the enemy does. And I remember sitting in my prayer room one day and I just said to the Lord, God, I need to hear your voice. Like, I know that one word out of your mouth changes everything.
Exactly.
So I need to hear your voice. And in that moment, I go into this vision and I see Jesus, and he had his hands tied and he was leaning over a tree stump, and he had a crown of thorns on, and he was leaning like this with both of his hands on the stump. And there was a man behind him with a whip. And I'm standing there watching, and the enemy is accusing. He's saying things about me. And every time the enemy would say something, he looked like a Roman centurion. He would whip the back of Jesus, and Jesus would look at me in the eyes, and he would declare the truth of who I was.
Wow.
And then the enemy would speak again, and he'd say, this is who you are. And then the Roman centurion would like whip him again, and Jesus would look at me with the most love-filled eyes, and he'd say to me, but this is the truth of who you are. And that moment, Chris, changed my life, because wow. I was a perfectionist. I believed that I had to get everything right for the Lord to love me. I didn't know about the unconditional love of Jesus and the love of the Father. I had an orphan spirit. And in that moment, that changed my life forever. Wow. Because in that moment, not only did I see what Jesus has paid for us, but also just that love that I can't even find words to describe. He wasn't looking at me with condemnation or displeasure. He was looking at me with these eyes that just shouted, like, I delight in you. Like, you're beautiful. You are mine.
Wow.
And that was one of the marking moments of my life.
That's beautiful. Lana, last question. We call this podcast Cultural Catalyst because we wanted to get people to come on and talk about how they are actually affecting culture. You know, it's like a light of the world. And, you know, I was brought up in the Jesus movement, where the motto of that time was come out and be separate. And I really feel like the Lord's like, get into culture and be leaven, you know, if affect culture. And we see what's happened with 50 years of the church leaving culture. And now, you know, we're reemerging in culture. And I just love to ask you, what does it mean to be a cultural catalyst from, you know, where God's called you and the location you live and the call on your life and the family you have?
Yeah. Yeah, I love this. I was actually thinking about this week in more of an intentional way. And I was thinking, you know, to be a cultural catalyst, I believe, is someone who first and foremost carries the heart of God. I really believe that in order to shift, to see culture shifted and to see his kingdom extended and his culture, you know, extended, that we have to be ones that carry his heart.
Yes.
And I really believe that, that the Lord, like you said, like we're emerging now and the Lord is calling us to be engaged. There's this call to be positioned and to walk in courage of what the Lord has called me to do and me to be in the areas of jurisdiction that he's given me. And I can't sit on the sideline and go, well, I hope somebody else will do it.
Exactly.
Like I am called to be, I'm called to share the heart of God. I am called to share his light and his love. And so whatever area of culture the Lord has called you to or me to, I believe that we are to be the ones that are partnering with the Lord and his heart and then going into those spaces and releasing the heart of the Lord and the strategy and the vision of the Lord into those places. I have a real passion to see the heart of the Lord manifested because so often, especially like in the prophetic, I've done it, you know, you can prophesy and not have the heart of the Lord. But we really have to, rather than sit here and look at what's going on around and go, oh, wow, that's really terrible. Actually, let's be intentional to sit with the Lord and say, Lord, what's your heart for this space?
That's
what's
really
your heart?
Good.
And then go in.
Hey, thank you so much for being on. Gosh, it's great to get to know you and so encouraging that we actually met in YWAM. Then you were here for 6 months and man, it's a small, small world.
Yes.
I love your spirit.
Thank you for having me.
You're such a beautiful woman. Thank you so very much. And hey, thank you for watching us. Oh, hey, Lana, how can people get connected with you? Lana, it's LanaVawser.com.
That's right.
So you have a website?
Yeah. We have a website and all like everything that we're doing, you can find there. Our online schools, the prophetic words, everything's on that website.
And then also you have an Instagram page.
I do, Lana Vorza Ministries.
Beautiful. So check her out. And you know, you got some schools that you can that people can participate in. Bless you. Love you tons. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. To stay connected, you can sign up for my weekly newsletter at chrisvalentin.com/subscribe. God bless you.